This podcast is brought to you by Racing New South Wales, Sky Racing and Pride's Easy Feed.
Anybody with even a casual interest in racing will be focused on Rosehill Gardens on Saturday, March 23rd, when the Australian Turf Club and Racing New South Wales proudly present the running of the $5 million TAB Golden Slipper. Have a look at the supporting card. The agency George Ryder, worth $1 million. The Group 1 Randwich Stakes, $1 million, a pipe opener for the Queen Elizabeth. The Kiora Galaxy, $1 million, and the Sky Racing Active Rosehill Guineas, $750,000. Fillies and mares will be well catered for with the Group 3 Birthday Card, the Group 3 Epona Stakes, while the Group 3 Mannion Cup will be an added attraction. It's pleasing to see the continuation of the Derby Munro Stakes, honouring the memory of one of the greatest riders in the history of Australian racing. David Hugh Munro, who died in 1966 at just 53, won 3 Melbourne Cups, 5 Cox Plates, and a huge list of feature races, some of them several times over. He got to ride many of the best horses of his era. Old Darb would be chuffed to think he's being remembered once again on Golden Slipper Day. It's unlikely trainer Ron Stubbs has ever had a better day at the races than the one he enjoyed on his home track at Albury on February the 18th. 5 of his team competed on the day for 3 wins and a third placing. He supplied the winner and third place getter in the all-important Country Championship qualifier. It was significant that champion Victorian jockey Craig Williams accepted Ron's invitation to travel across the border to ride Bianco Villano to victory in the qualifier. Ron spent his early life in Moolamine and Hay in the Western Riverina region of New South Wales, and he had a connection with horses from a very early age. Progressing through Pony Club to the eventing discipline, he eventually tried his hand as an amateur jockey. By his own admission, he was no George Moore, and finished his brief career with no wins on the board. He later trained a horse or two, although the licence was in the name of his father, Pat. When the time came for Ron to decide on a career direction, he found himself focused on the prospect of becoming a professional trainer. With opportunities very limited in the Hay region, he bit the bullet and set up shop at Albury. He quickly gained recognition as a very astute horseman and maintained a healthy strike rate for almost 20 years. He was 40 years old when he made the snap decision to relinquish his licence and take a job at the Albury base of Ron Finnamore Transport. But then in 2016, the bug bit again. He made a quiet re-entry to the Albury training ranks. He won a race pretty quickly with the curiously named Squid and Squiz, and he hasn't looked back. You can go to the races some days, Ron, quietly believing you can win a race or two, and nothing goes right from the get-go. February the 18th at Albury, nothing went wrong.
No, that's right, John. That's one will be etched in my memory for the rest of my life, and couldn't have turned out better for us.
It was an unusual name, Squid and Squiz, but he could gallop. You won 6 races with him when you got him up from Victoria, and that first win on the comeback trail must have been sweet. It was a class one at Corowa.
No, that's right. That was memorable too. And we bought him as a tried horse in Victoria. And actually, he's a horse that I followed right from his first start. And then when he came up on the market, it was a very easy decision to purchase him. And he had good ability and couldn't have had a better horse to start the career again.
You brought Craig Williams up from Melbourne. He rode all 3 of your winners on the day. He told the press later that he's always happy to head over the border when Ron Stubbs offers him a ride or two. He thinks you're a pretty good judge.
Oh, gee, John, I don't know about that. They often say in racing that the 1%ers make the difference, but I think on that day I was a 1% and Craig was a 99%.
You're too modest. He's a remarkable professional, isn't he? He ticks every box, Craig Williams.
Unbelievably so. Yeah, the detail he goes into, it's unsurpassed.
Bianco Villano came from midfield that day with a swooping run to win the qualifier. That took his record to 5 wins and 8 placings and $338,000. He also won his qualifier last year, Ron, and then ran fourth to Sizzle Manizzle in the final at Randwick. Is he better this year?
I think so, John. He's more mature, and he's always been a very playful horse, and his focus hasn't been the best, but we're just finding as he gets older, sort of he's turning that around. So let's hope he can turn it around on race day.
He ran in the Kosciuszko 2 last year, but not much went right in that race. He got squeezed up at the start. I think he over-raced a bit as a result of that. Best forgotten, the Kosciuszko.
Now that's right, and I really don't regard him as a genuine 1,200 metre horse, but you know, he's contested all the top country races, the country championship final, the Kosciuszko, the Barn Dance, and he's been a fantastic horse for us.
Getting them qualified early is one thing, but that then presents another problem. You've got to keep that horse ticking over for many, many weeks. What do you do with him now? The final is on the 6th of April.
Yeah, that's right. It's it was 6 weeks between our heat and the final. And actually, we just sent him to the water walker for 10 days. And I just picked him up early this week. And then we'll just give him an easy week or two. Undecided yet whether we'll go to the final via a race or via a trial. We'll just let him tell us that and see how he's working in the coming weeks. But he's in great order, so it's really just a matter of just topping him off fitness-wise.
Nice horse to have around, is he, Ron?
Beautiful horse. Real eye-catcher. He's got many admirers. He's a lovely, big, black horse. So you know that he stands out in the mounting yard anywhere you go.
You slipped him to Sydney last April for a Tab Highway at Rosehill Gardens. James McDonald was the jockey, and I think he gave you a pretty encouraging report.
Yeah, no, that's right. He actually had 63.5 that day. That was his next run after the country championship final, and there's a suitable highway on a couple of weeks after that, and we just decided we'd have one more crack prior to giving him a spell. Went up there on a heavy track, very wet that day, so I think James weighed out at 64 or 64.5 sort of after everything was totally wet after the race, but that was a massive run. And after that, we earmarked him sort of for hopefully a Kosciuszko slot, and we're lucky enough to get one.
Yeah. Well, Craig Williams must have put a lot of thought into this. He probably realised or felt confident he'd have commitments at Randwick on Doncaster Derby Day, and he hoped your horse would give him a ride, a good ride, in the country championship final. It all worked out.
No, that's right. Well, Craig's won the last two Doncasters, and so I'd say on Mr. Brightside, and I'd imagine they'll be back there again, so we're just lucky sort of that he is going to be there, and we can take the opportunity of using him.
You also supplied the third place getter in the Albury heat, Baildon, who just happens to be the older full brother to Bianco Villano. He's been a nice horse too, Ron. 4 wins, including a Tab Highway at Rosehill.
No, that's right. Actually, he's the first foal from the mare, and he's only small. He only just touched 15 hands, complete opposite to Bianco Villano. But he's a genuine trier, and what he lacks in ability, he certainly makes up for in effort. And he's a joy to train.
Let's go back to your early days in the Western Riverina. Your dad, Pat, was a mechanic, and he took the family to the tiny little hamlet of Moolamine when a job came up with the Murray River Council. What are your memories of Moolamine?
actually very fond. It's only a small town, only 600 people, and we attended primary school there, and very fond memories of Melbourne. A very sociable town, very friendly town, and never forget our time there.
The very first horse to come into your life was a Shetland pony. I think your dad won him in a raffle. What did you do with that little fella?
Yeah, actually, me and my brother Peter, we both started learning to ride on him, and typical Shetland pony. They have no respect for the riders, but look, he is a great asset for us. And, as you said, he has won in a raffle, and I think the football club raffled him. I have no idea why a football club would be raffling a Shetland pony. It's bait now, and sort of at the time we never realised sort of the influence that it had on the rest of our lives.
Yeah. What age were you when Dad and your mother Jess decided to make the move to Hay, which I think is about 120 kilometres from Moolamine?
Yeah, I just started secondary school, so I would have been early teens. And I think that was a primary reason for moving to Hay, just education-wise. So, then I would have spent the next 15 years at Hay, and once again, a fantastic town, and really enjoyed my time there.
You started out at Pony Club, as so many country kids do, and you competed at a good level in eventing. You were soon riding work for your dad, who trained on a hobby basis, and you joined the amateur riding ranks for a while, but you never got to visit the winner's circle.
No, unfortunately. I should have. Dad actually trained two horses in the one race, and they were the only two starters, and I had the pick of the rides, but... being such a good judge, I picked the second place guy.
Definitely. An unpleasant memory.
No, that's actually it's a good one to look back on.
Now, what about Sister Jenny, your only sister? Just before we leave the Stubbs family, did Jen have any interest in racing?
No, she's never sort of followed us down the horse path. When I say that, takes a very, very keen interest, but never been a rider as such.
Brother Peter, on the other hand, had more than a passing interest in racing. He was a devotee of the sport. In his youth, a good horseman in his own right, and in later life, he devoted all of his time to racing administration, and for many, many years.
No, that's right. He served as the CEO at Albury, and then he was 2IC at Canberra for quite a few years prior to... taking the CEO role there, and he's still very keen. He's actually living in Greece at the moment, but I get regular updates from him on what I should be doing and how I should be doing it, so it's all a big help.
What took him to Greece?
Well, he retired, and him and his wife Edie were going, well, they intended travelling in retirement, and then COVID struck, and they couldn't go anywhere. And so during that period, I think he came up with a grand plan of moving to Greece for 5 years, and he's been over there for just on 2 years now. Mm. And all reports are he's loving it over there.
The Canberra Race Club gave him a rousing farewell at a race day, actually. I think they gave him a special lunch between races. And to be a part of the occasion, you actually set a couple of horses for that meeting in the hope you could win a race on a very special day. Didn't work out.
No, that's right. We did our best, but we didn't salute at all. But nevertheless, it was a fantastic day.
There was one very valuable period of work experience that you had with Angus Armanasco at Caulfield. How did you get on with that iconic horseman?
Ah, superb. He's a gentleman's gentleman. And he just had a stable full of champion horses. And, an experience you never forget. And I guess it's hard to quantify what you learn from these top stables, but I'm certain I'm still using a lot of the lessons learnt from there these days.
He had a very good horse there at the time, didn't he, that you've not forgotten?
Yeah, Tolerance, that's right. Mm. Champion horse, but, I can't remember them all these days, but if you went from box to box, they were just all top quality.
Mm. Tolerance is an interesting one, Ron. He won the very first Blue Diamond, which was run in 1971. He also won a Sire's Produce Stakes at Flemington and later an Ascot Vale, which is now known as the Coolmore Stud Stakes. Nobody could pick a race and get one ready for it better than Angus Armanasco, particularly the younger horses.
Oh, he's a genius. And, as I said, particularly with the two-year-olds, I don't think he had a peer as far as that was concerned.
Well, finally, it was time to settle on a future, and nobody was surprised when you settled on horse training. Off you went to Albury, and you opened for business. How did you get started? Where did the owners come from?
Actually, I think I came over with three horses that I was training in hay. And, well, actually, from hay, I took two horses to Canterbury and spent about 3 months in Canterbury and just raced them in the Sydney area and in the provincials. I don't think we had a winner up there, but had a couple of placings. And then when the 3 months was up, the steward reminded me that it was time to go home. So went home and then made the call to move to Albury. So we came over here with three horses. No contacts in Albury at all. It was all just come and see, do the best we could. And over the years, just progressed from there.
Mm. Does the name Wills Lass strike a chord?
Yes. He's amazing. Probably going back 50 years now. No, possibly not that long, but she is a very small horse, but she is the first horse that won a race for us. I raced her in partnership with Frank Heaton, and Frank still has a share in horses with us.
Oh, isn't that great? He's a sticker.
That's right.
So that was your first winner, Wills Lass, at which track, Ron?
That was at Balranald, which is once again out in the Western Riverina.
Yeah. I've identified three horses who were almost certainly your best performers first time around as a trainer. Bisc Ruler must have been a warrior. He raced from 2 years to nine. He won a swag of races. And is it true you even had him over the jumps very late in his career?
That's right. We tried him as a jumper and, we took to that and we won a race at Adelaide with him, maiden hurdle over there, and he ended up going up to Brisbane. Brisbane used to, for a short period there, they just ran a hurdle race once a year, just a promotional race. And we took him up there and he just got beaten in a photo finish there. So he was a real warrior, an iron horse, and a genuine trier.
Prince Carrick was a very good horse for the stable. He raced 48 times. He won nine. He ran 13 placings. You'd dream of them. He won a race at Caulfield with Darren Murphy on board, and he won one at Flemington, ridden by Stephen King.
Yeah, no, that's right. And I'd say potentially probably could have been the best horse we'd ever had. I think it was his second or third start when he won in Melbourne, and he galloped on badly and stripped behind. And he was able to go on and still win races, but I just feel that it just held him back from reaching his full potential.
Mm-hmm. You speak admiringly of Golden Lining. Another one of those wonderful horses who just performed every campaign, every time in.
Yeah, look, he is enormous. Actually, we were only newly married at the time, and she came along and she just came from nowhere, and we ended up raising her in her own name. and we were renting at the time, and she was able to buy our first block of land for us, and then a few runs later she was able to give us a deposit for our house. So she'll never be forgotten.
You still think about her in your quiet moments, I'll bet.
No, that's right. And there's nothing of her. She's just a small little chestnut there, and pretty inconspicuous, but she had a lot of ability.
And had a great motor.
Exactly.
Ron, did you meet your wife Petra in Albury?
No. Actually, we met in Hay. I was on the way out and she was on the way in. She was transferred to Hay as a school teacher. It was only just prior to me moving to Albury. And it just developed from there.
So Petra had to learn the language of racing from scratch.
That's right, yes. No racing background, but she's been a fantastic support.
Yeah, and how obsessively interested is she these days or in subsequent years?
She has mucked out many a box, although she doesn't do it now. Yeah. And but no, she knows what's going on, and she's fantastic sort of talk to and ideas to and from. So it's been fantastic.
You were 40 years of age when you made a snap decision to change direction. You walked away from racing to take a job with Ron Finnamore Transport. I think your sons Kurt and Nick were about 10 and 7 respectively, while Abby, your only daughter, hadn't yet arrived in the world. Now, that's a hell of a decision, Ron. Was it primarily a case of financial security?
Oh, that played a big part in it. The children were young, and training so time-consuming, and so it was, working 7 days a week, and really not making the money you should be making for the hours you put in. And so I thought we'd sort of try and improve our lifestyle and the quality of life for their children. So wasn't a decision that came easily, and probably not a decision I wanted to make, but I think looking back, it was the right decision.
Well, you were destined to stay in the transport business for close to 20 years, some of it with Finnamore and some with a company called Green Freights. So you got to know that business inside out.
I did, but to be honest, I never had the passion for transport that I had for racing.
Ron Finnamore, of course, is a very avid owner and a keen supporter of the racing game, and we see his colours going around quite often on the Sydney Metropolitan tracks. John O'Shea trains his horses currently.
No, that's right. I often look out for his colours, and he's had tremendous success with them over the years.
Did your daughter Abby have anything to do with your decision to return to training?
Very much so. Abby has been a keen rider from a very young age, and she went through Pony Club and then progressed to eventing, and then she started riding track work for a local trainer. And so while she was riding track work, I sort of got to the point with thought, I might get a horse, and she can ride track work for me, and that was basically the start of it. So yeah. Without her, I wouldn't be training today, I wouldn't think.
That was just the excuse you needed, wasn't it, to get back in?
Exactly, that's right, the perfect path.
Ron, I'll get you to stand by for a moment. We're going to clear a commitment on the podcast. We'll be back with Ron Stubbs after this. A message for trainers of thoroughbred, standardbred and performance horses. Pride's Easy Feed would like you to know a little more about a new product called Energy Pack, a top-up feed designed to replace cracked or flaked corn in a horse's diet. Energy Pack comes in small cubes of extruded corn and full-fat soybean and is 6 times more digestible than raw corn. Energy Pack isn't a complete feed. You simply use it to top up your horse's normal ration. Energy Pack will help you to stay ahead in the war against acidosis. Energy Pack comes in 20 kilo bags and is a palatable, concentrated source of energy. Speaking of acidosis, Pride's also recommends Easy Light, a great tasting electrolyte. Its glucose and fruit flavouring is just the ticket for those fussy eaters. For best results, feed Easy Light as part of your horse's balanced ration. Replace those lost salts and keep your horses on their water through the long hot summer. Pride's Easy Light and Pride's Energy Pack, a winning double from Pride's Easy Feed. Masters in the field of equine nutrition. My special guest is Albury trainer Ron Stubbs. Since returning to the training ranks, you've rarely had more than 15 horses in work, and you have no desire to exceed that number.
No, that's right. Look, we can do that comfortably, and we've got 10 boxes at home, and we've got another half a dozen boxes next door to us. So it's just a nice fit for us, and we've got fantastic staff, and if it works, we'll just stick to it, and it's just working perfectly for us at the moment.
And you tell me you have the services of some very capable work riders.
No, once again, Abby's been a stalwart there. She's ridden work for us right through, and staff-wise, yeah, we've got a number of track riders. It's touch wood. I know it's a massive issue within racing, but we're getting by quite nicely at the moment.
You've had a lot of fun with a horse called Tap and Run. He's won 5, he's run 8 placings, and he too won a Tab Highway on Gong Day at Kembla Grange. He made the country championship final 2 years ago, but I think a heavy track brought him undone on the day.
No, that's right. He's a horse that just has to have a rock-hard, dry track. And unfortunately, he went to Sydney that day and it was a heavy track, and that just knocked him right out of the race. But he's been a very honest horse. He's a get-back horse, and so he's exciting to watch because he'll come from the rear of the field, and sometimes he doesn't get there, but more often than not, he can.
It seems Spun Largo is your firm favourite in recent years. He'd had a fair bit of racing when you sourced him out of Victoria, and I think you fluked him, didn't you?
That's right. Well, at the property of Mr. Jim Anderson down in Victoria, and Jim's provided us with quite a few horses, and we're looking at one in particular, and this horse walked up and put his head over the gate, and as it turned out, it happened to be Spun Largo, and conversation started to evolve around him, and asked Jim if we could take him, which he allowed us to, and he came out and he won an Albury Cup, and he won an open handicap in Flemington. He won 2 consecutive best ERA horses of the year, so I'd have to label him as the best horse we've had.
Would you really, Spun Largo? Well, you won another 6 with him when you brought him up from Victoria, and he won one at Flemington, as you said. I think Brett Prebble rode him that day.
That's right, yes, yeah.
And to win the Albury Gold Cup on home turf, there cannot be a bigger thrill than that for an Albury trainer.
Ah, that's right. You always want to win your hometown cup. Bit of an anticlimax, I guess, in one point, because it was the first meeting with the COVID restrictions, so it was participants only. So, but by the same token, we're more than happy to take it.
That was in 2020, and the jockey was a fellow for whom you've had tremendous admiration, Matthew Carl.
Ah, that's right. Look, I'd call him the best country rider in New South Wales, and he's a superb rider, superb balance, and there's no need to look any further than Matthew.
Mm. Well, Spun Largo wasn't your first Albury Cup winner. 27 years earlier, You'd won the Cup with Wilga Dash, ridden by the late Alan Abrahams, who lost his life in a motor accident near Grafton some years ago now. Very good rider.
No, that's right. He's one of the leading riders in the Southern Districts and a superb person too. Remember fondly Alan about the races, and his wife would be there with their young children, and they were a real standout to see them as a family. And it was a sad loss when we did lose him. And Wilga Dash, I guess he was, you know, you labelled him as an average horse, but on the day, luck went his way and he was able to get across the line.
Mm. In this era of public awareness of the welfare of ex-racehorses, I'm pleased to report Old Spun Largo is still pottering around at your place.
That's right, yes. We've got him in a stable next door, and he looks a picture. I might have to put him back into work. He looks so well at the moment.
Hey, why not? Is he sound?
He's sound as a bell, yeah. I think he's 13 now, but let age not stop us.
Yeah, he doesn't know that though, Ron.
That's right, exactly.
You speak very highly of Boss Lady Rocks, who boasts a record of 18 starts for 5 wins and 5 placings. 2 of those wins were at Moonee Valley, ridden by Alana Kelly and Celine Gaudray, respectively.
Yeah, lovely mare. When I say a lovely mare, typical mare, when you're saddling her or doing anything with her, she'll want to kill you. But from a riding point of view, she's taught many of our riders to ride. Lovely and quiet, take her to the track and can ask her to do anything, and she walks off the track and just has a pick of grass. Complete opposite to what you think sort of a flying 1,000-metre horse would be, but and she's terribly honest and always gives her best, and she's held very highly within the stable.
Mm. Boss Lady Rocks is in full work, and you tell me you're aiming her for a race with a curious name at the Albury Cup meeting.
That's right. It's the last race of the Cup Carnival. It's a flat knacker, and it's run over 900 metres.
Yeah.
She won it 2 years ago, and so we'll give her opportunity to back up again.
You've already mentioned Matthew Carl and the tremendous service he's given you over a long period of years. I think you'd like to mention another wonderful rider in the Riverina with whom you had tremendous success years ago. You had a great run with the late Norm Dickens, who was king in that area for a long, long time.
No, that's right. I guess, you know, he probably had more ability than living in Albury. I'd rate him as a metropolitan jockey that lived in the country. I don't know the circumstances there as to why he did, but he possessed enormous ability and enormous horsemanship.
And Norm, I think, moved away from Albury, didn't he? And sadly, we lost him a few years ago now.
Yeah, that's right. He moved to Queensland, and he's passed on, unfortunately.
I noticed Jason Lyne has been riding regularly for the stable in recent times, and plenty of winners too.
Yeah, Jason moved to Albury, probably 12 months, maybe a little bit longer ago, and he's riding work for us, and so it's a reward for effort, and more than happy to have him on board.
Nick Suquet is another Riverina veteran who's ridden many winners for you over the years.
I think Nick's ridden many winners for many people. He's been around for a long time, and he started with the Pre as a Corra, as an apprentice, and good rider, and as I said, winner after winner.
Have you ever been tempted to relocate to a bigger training precinct in New South Wales or Victoria?
I guess it'd be foolish to say we haven't, but we love Albury. I always thought Canberra would be a fantastic place to train, but it's too cold. Now, look, it's not a consideration now. It would have been in the past, but, you know, we're in the veteran stage now, and our roots are here and we're here to stay.
You're in a perfect location, you know, at Albury. It's just a case of putting the horses on the float and you turn left or you turn right to Melbourne or Sydney.
No, that's true. And Melbourne's a day trip for us. Sydney, it's an overnight trip, but both very, very accessible for us. And that's it. We're constantly looking at two calendars to see what direction we'll take.
Mm. Who are the trainers for whom Ron Stubbs has had special admiration throughout his career?
I think actually the one that just stands head and shoulders above everybody else is Chris Waller, and just his professionalism and his attitude towards training and towards racing. I think it's just second to none. We were speaking about Craig Williams earlier and what a professional he is, and I think you'd have to rate Chris Waller as sort of being on the same level in the training as a trainer. And I just admire what he does, how he does it, and with the number of horses he does it with.
It's been quite a journey, Ron. Your career has been conducted in two phases, and here you are at age 69, enjoying your involvement more than ever with the country championship finalist in the stable and a genuine chance in the $1 million race. You just need the right track and the right barrier.
Let's hope so. Well, we've got the right jockey, so, and everything else is going to plan, but it's a task. But look, just to have a runner, sort of, it's satisfying enough, and we'll do our best, but we'll be happy whatever result we get.
Must be a hell of a thrill for a bush-based trainer to come all the way to Sydney, take on the big guns in the metropolitan area and get away with a win, which you've done several times. Huge thrill.
You just love to be racing in the metropolitan area. You know, it's the pinnacle of racing, and it's very hard, but to be there, I think it just gives you that edge that, you know, you want to try harder, and that's all we can do.
There'll be a very long queue to shake your hand if Bianco Villano has his head in front on the line on the 6th of April. Been a delight, Ron. Thank you very much for joining us on a podcast produced by Supernova Sound. Been great to catch up.
No, thanks so much, John. An absolute pleasure.
Anybody with even a casual interest in racing will be focused on Rosehill Gardens on Saturday, March 23rd, when the Australian Turf Club and Racing New South Wales proudly present the running of the $5 million TAB Golden Slipper. Have a look at the supporting card. The agency George Ryder, worth $1 million. The Group 1 Randwick Stakes, $1 million, a pipe opener for the Queen Elizabeth. The Kiora Galaxy, $1 million, and the Sky Racing Active Rosehill Guineas, $750,000. Fillies and mares will be well catered for with the Group 3 Birthday Card, the Group 3 Epona Stakes, while the Group 3 Mannion Cup will be an added attraction. It's pleasing to see the continuation of the Derby Munro Stakes, honouring the memory of one of the greatest riders in the history of Australian racing. David Hugh Munro, who died in 1966 at just 53, won 3 Melbourne Cups, 5 Cox Plates, and a huge list of feature races, some of them several times over. He got to ride many of the best horses of his era. Old Darb would be chuffed to think he's being remembered once again on Golden Slipper Day.